Amen. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul. Lover of my soul. God loves us so much. Let's just have a quick word of prayer before we get into our scriptures and so forth. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just again come to you, thanking you for today, Father God. Lord, I personally ask that you would remove Michael, Father God, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and speak through this unworthy vessel, Father God, that your children, Father God, may be challenged to make a change, to be more like Christ, Father God, Lord. Father God, keep us each encouraged, Father God, by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father God. Have your way in this place with me today, Father God, and with each of your children. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our dear friend, do we pray? Amen. All right, so we're continuing with our Radical Rebel series. And, again, my premise is that Jesus Christ himself was radical. He was a radical rebel. He came and he shook up things. He didn't do things in the status quo manner of doing things. And so I feel like as Christians, which means to be Christ-like, that we ought to as well be radical in various different ways. And so last week I was trying to lay down a little bit of a foundation, and anybody in the construction business will know that laying down a foundation does not happen just overnight. You know what I'm saying? There's a process. So I'm going to lay down a little bit more of a foundation today, and we're going to take our time in learning to be radical. And so today's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Feel free to read along with me. I'm going to, excuse me. Excuse me. I'm going to read this out of two different versions. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version and then the New Living Translation Version. And I really want to kind of work off of the New Living Translation Version. They both say the same thing. So again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 in the New King James Version says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." All right. And the New Living Translation says, "So be on guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed." Be clear-headed. All right. So both versions, that sober and that clear-headed, is addressing the mind. It's talking about, keeping our mind alert, keeping our mind, saying, attentful to what's going on. All right. And so for a title, for title's sake, today's message is the sophisticated sophistries. Sophisticated sophistries. Like, what are you talking about, Pastor? I like words. So I say things the hard way sometimes. Let me get this out of the way. So what are sophistries, right? Sophistry is reasoning that seems plausible on the on a superficial level, right? But it's actually unsolid. So in other words, what I'm saying is it's reasoning that is used simply to deceive. Reasoning that is used simply to deceive, to be deceptive. Let's see. All right, I don't see a cloud in the sky right now, therefore, it's never going to rain again. There's no clouds in the sky right now. It'll never rain again. We ain't never gonna have rain again. Maybe it's plausible. I don't see any, clouds, and we know it takes clouds to rain, and so yeah, there's no clouds. It'll never rain again. However, we know that the probability is clouds, especially where we live at, the clouds will come again. It will rain. Therefore, that's a sophistry. It's I'm being deceptive, even though it seems, to the the unawares that it's plausible. However, it's more sophisticated than that, than my example I gave, right? So what I want to discuss today is the fact that there is an ongoing coordinated attack being waged against you every single moment of your life. Since you were first, conceived and sipped your first breath of air, you have been under attack. You'll remain under attack until, you sip your last breath of air. The enemy is relentless. He does not stop. We are constantly, 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 constantly being bombarded. Thus, we have Paul saying to us, be on guard. You know, don't go to sleep. You know, when you got guard duty, last thing you want to do is be caught sleeping. You know, the enemy will sneak up when you least expect him to. You know, like, I'm tired. I'm just going to close my eyes for 5 seconds. I'll be okay. That's what the enemy waiting. He waiting for that. You know, he got you in his scopes. He's waiting for you to, you know, just close your eyes for a little bit and go to sleep. So Paul says, be on guard, you know, not asleep like everybody else, you know, like wake up. You know, we in this whole woke culture thing nowadays, right? Everybody woke, so-called. Oh, I'm woke. Like you learn something new and all of a sudden you think you woke. Like that ain't really how it works. But anyway, I ain't gonna get off the end of that. But he says, not asleep like others. You know, wake up, pay attention, stay alert and be clear-headed. You know what I'm saying? Really pay attention. Think critically is what he's saying. Think critically about what is happening, you know, around you, what you are being exposed to, what the attacks of the enemy looks like. If we're asleep, we don't see none of this, right? And so, you know, like I said, we've been under attack, you know, since day one, you know. And the thing is, the enemy has never changed his tactic at all. He's been using the exact same tactic since day one. And the reason is because it works, right? It's a good tactic. It works, you know. And that's because his tactic is to focus on the one weapon that never gets outdated. Y'all want to know what that is? It's the hearts and mind. You know, the heart and mind. And in fact, we actually, if you listen to the news and stuff, we hear, you know, these words like, you know, we're winning the hearts and minds of the Afghan people. We're winning the hearts and minds of the Iraqis, right? What that means, what they're saying, what that that is coded for psychological warfare. The hearts and minds, you know, is talking about psychological warfare. And that's what the tactic of the enemy is, the hearts and minds of God's people. We are constantly under psychological warfare from the enemy. The enemy has been deploying psychological warfare since day one. I'm gonna show you in two different ways, right? Two different ways. First, right? Nowadays, and this is men and women, we have this big, you know, saying, oh, I don't need nobody. I can do it by myself. I can do bad all on my own. You know, I can go it alone. I don't need nobody. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'd rather be single, right? But what did God say? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God placed a man in the Garden of Eden. No, I'm sorry. Verse 18. Verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good for the man to be alone. However, we have this now, this notion of like, oh, I don't need nobody. I can do it by myself. I don't need a wife. I don't need a husband. I don't need nobody. I can do it on my own. But God said it's not good. It's not good for us. So why is this so pervasive? Because, you know, this is a trick of the enemy, you know, and I don't want to get too far, but I'm going to show y'all how the enemy, you know, is actually waging this psychological warfare. I'm going to show you another instance, right? I'm going to show you another instance. So we all know how Adam and Eve end up, you know, getting themselves in some deep trouble and like, all right, y'all need to go, right? Because the enemy, you employed and deployed psychological warfare on Adam and Eve. He's told them, he was like, you know, hold on, here you go. He says, you'll be like God. You won't die. You'll be like God. Listen, this is not a physical attack that the enemy is doing, but he's attacking Adam and Eve. Well, first Eve, and then she, you know, y'all know the story. But it's not a physical attack. He's attacking the heart and mind. You won't die. That's a lie. That's psychological. Let me change the way you think. Because God told us that we will surely die. Let me change your thought on this. You won't die. You're going to live. It'll be okay. Watch. Just go ahead. Jump off the cliff. It's okay. He lied. Then he lied again and says, listen, you'll be like God. Attack the mind. Attack the heart. Oh, wow. You know, I'll be like my father. But God already told us that he made us just like him in his image. So what do you mean I'm going to be like him? I'm already like him. But what child doesn't want to be like their parent? Wait a minute. I'm going to be more like God? Even more? Like, attack the heart. Attack the mind. Since day one, this has been the enemy's tactic. The enemy is very radical. And in turn, we have to be radical ourselves. And psychological warfare, there's an element of, oh man, I did not print that part out. That's all right. We're going to make do without it. I wrote some and I typed some, so it's okay. Anyway, in psychological warfare, there involves a mental or emotional type of battle. And nowadays, it often involves both simultaneously. You know, the enemy will attack both the mental and the emotional at the same time. And the reasoning behind these attacks is that what he's doing is he's trying to change the way that you think, the way that you reason, the way that you operate, how you maneuver throughout life. That's what he's trying to attack. And say like, okay, you know, you can do things differently than what God has ordained. And there's certain things that he uses to push this psychological warfare. And these are things I forgot to bring out with me out of my office, but we, you know, I digress. Anyway, so, and I'm gonna go from the top of my head. And if you want the list, just let me know and I'll give you a copy of it. And it's better detail. But anyway, yeah, hit the print. It's the Google Doc. Print that Google Doc and it'll have it on there. So one is he uses the news, right? So, and this has been for a long time. So, you know, all the way from the King's Herald, you know, the King proclaims, you know, all the way to, you know, the talking heads we see on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and, you know, cheddar cheese news and all of that stuff, right? You know, he uses the news, you know, to influence the way that we think. And were you able to print it? It's what y'all use. You know it. Rob, it's what you use for the lab computers. Anyway, y'all forgive me. All right, so he uses the news to influence the way that we think, right? So we'll see stuff happening on the news. These talking heads that get up there and they'll give their opinions and make it seem as if this is actual news, but it's really just their opinions about stuff that's happening. And, you know, we get enamored with these individuals and they become our favorite, you know, pundits on TV. Wolf Blitzer, you know, oh, that's my favorite. I just love watching him. I like the way that he talks and everything. And so everything that comes out of their mouth now actually be, you know, we internalize it as being the truth and being news. And we internalize their thoughts, their feelings, their, you know, viewpoints as our own. instead of, thinking critically about, okay, you didn't really tell me, saying what happened. You just told me your opinion on what happened, And so that's one of the ways he, the enemy pushes forward his psychological warfare. Another way is social media. This is a big one. It's a new one, relative, but it's a really big one. So he uses influencers and, other personalities to, get on there and push a certain narrative, a certain way of thinking, a certain way of living, believing, all of that, dressing, all of that, And especially the young and some of our older people have adapted very well to technology and they feed into that stuff. They see stuff on Facebook and Instagram and, Snapchat and Twitter and all that stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, I they're right. They're right. They'll make a Twitter, what, you get 145 characters, so they'll make a ambiguous statement around surrounding, a topic. And then everybody buys into that topic and say, yeah, that's right. But there's really no context to what they're saying. There's no, really deeper discussion and thought and so forth into what's being said, what's being pushed forward, or anything else. It's just like, yeah, we'll buy into that. And so that's another way that they use it. The enemy uses the psychological warfare. A third way is they use TV, media. Hey man, see? Play that. All right. News outlets, we already discussed that. Television, radio shows, media, posting propaganda on social media such as Facebook, Instagram is more of a modern form of psychological warfare. They use hoax profiles. That's another one I wanted to touch in on because we all heard about how Russia, they was making all these dummy profiles and trying to influence the election, which some say they were very successful at. But this is used beyond more than just elections. This is used in just everyday life, these hoax profiles, to influence our beliefs both for and against certain ideas. They'll have you thinking certain things. I'm gonna touch in deeper on this. Old form, which is still used today, leaflets or flyers are utilized as well to push the enemy narrative. And you like leaflets? Ain't nobody really, you like, you ain't really. Okay, have you ever been to Las Vegas? Man, have you seen the stuff they try to shove in your hands? They're like, that lady ain't got no clothes on. What are you talking about? But like, yeah, come in. We're going to give you 10 free drinks and, just come to the club. Like, no, I don't even want that in my hand. That's, but they'll push different stuff like that. We don't really pay attention to the billboard so much and, saying the little on the light poles and all of that stuff, but we walk past different types of information all day and we're constantly, receiving various inputs of information. And the more and more you push a narrative, the more and more it becomes acceptable. The more and more we begin to say, like, yeah, okay. I guess so. You know what I'm saying? And just something real simple, just maybe a tagline. You know what I'm saying? And in our subconscious, we're not really paying attention. But then when something else comes up related to it, it's like, ah, yeah, you know what? I guess I do believe that. But you don't know that you've been primed to believe what it is you think you believe. And it's all against the word of God. You know what I'm saying? Before before the widespread use of media outlets and the internet, the leaflets was one of the main ways of spreading manipulative information. All right. And then the last one is false, is called false flags, right? And many of us may have heard of this term, a false flag operation or whatever. It's most often a false flag is an event or a series of events that will attempt to deceive us into thinking that certain actions or ways of thoughts are done or held by a friendly part of the group. In other words, what they're saying is that, they'll use, various individuals And y'all know me in prosperity preaching, so I'm gonna pick on that for a little bit, right? They'll use people like Creflo Dollar, to push a narrative like, yeah, you need to be sowing $1,000 a week, and if you ain't, then you ain't a real Christian. Like, nah, that ain't what the Bible say, right? But because that person presents themselves as a Christian and they're pushing a certain narrative, then we automatically say, okay, this is the way that Christians should think. Because they're a prominent person within the group, and we're willing to listen and follow behind what they're saying. Not necessarily that it lines up with the word of God. Another example is we have those groups that we see them all the time in front of the Planned Parenthood, like, oh, abortion is wrong and you're evil and all this and that, right? Even though, there's literally nothing in the Bible that says that, the thing is, it's a popular view that they say, like, hey, this is what Christians believe. So every Christian then gets behind that and say, like, yeah, this is wrong. However, the thing is, we're not called to judge the world. We're called to judge one another. And that's only at a certain time period. It's not like, oh, saying you just go around judging your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, no. Read your word a little bit more closer. Saying we can't just walk around, just saying, oh, you're evil, you're bad, you're wrong, saying you're not a Christian. That's not what we're called to do. But most people don't really want to read the word. They just want to, like, oh, okay, this is the popular and prevailing Christian thought. And therefore, because I consider myself as a Christian, I'm going to believe that and I'm going to hold that same thought because that's what Christians believe, right? No. That's why God says that we ought to study. In the Bible, saying Paul says what? Study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Why would you be ashamed? Because you don't know what God's word says. So let me move on. I want to show you guys something, right? So if we look at 2 Peter 3:17, it says, you already know these things, dear friends. So be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. All right, this is Peter talking to the church, saying, look, y'all know this stuff. Just like what I'm telling you, y'all know this stuff. You may not have so much, connected the dots about it all, but you know this stuff. And so we should be on guard. We have to guard our hearts and our minds. We have to guard our eyes from the stuff that we allow to bombard us, right? And one of the biggest things in society nowadays is sex, right? Sexual orientation, I'll put it that way. That's one of the big ones. Everybody like, LGBT, the alphabet community, all this and that, right? However, we miss over the fact that they've been bombarding us with, not sexual orientation, but sex and violence for a long time. I mean, you think back to it, saying the most violence you seen was Dennis the Menace shooting his little slingshot. And then it went from that, watching Mayberry, oh, I fell and scraped my knee, Paul, And nowadays, they just right out shooting. You got Junior Bat Boy, like blasting away with AK-47s and stuff on TV, and like nobody bats an eye at that because we have been conditioned to see that and be like, ah, oh, that's nothing. The new and hot thing right now is let's, all talk about sexual orientation. We ain't got to worry about the violence no more because that's normal. We ain't got to worry about all the, soft porn that's on, ABC, NBC, Fox and everything else because that's been normalized. That's okay. We don't need to worry about that. All of it is a problem. Because the enemy is just simply, conditioning us to go against what the word says and saying like, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And we didn't conceited to it. You know, they'll use certain words, and again, this is just propaganda. You know, this is just psychological warfare. But they'll often say things and label stuff as it being, oh, a groundbreaking new show. You know what I'm saying? It's courageous and brave the way they tackled that that subject. You know, and now we're all like glued to the TV. Oh, they said this is gonna be groundbreaking. It's courageous and brave, and like, oh yeah, you know. And we get hooked on it and be like, oh, okay. And you know, the thing is, the enemy, he's not like, you know, just flooding us all at once with this stuff, right? It's always a very slow, steady, methodical attack, right? Because if he floods us all with it all at once, right? Let's take violence, right? You know, we seeing heads get chopped off on TV shows, daytime TV shows, a head, you know, people being dismembered. We don't blink an eye at it. We don't even think about it. You know what I'm saying? We've become numb to it. You know, limbs being, you know, cut off. And I mean, think about some of the stuff we see, the violence that we see, you know what I'm saying, in our sports. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we're going to change the rules to, you know, allow, you know, for this because, you know, it's just a popular way people play now. I'm like, really? You know, and we've, you know, acquiesced to it all and say, yeah, okay. You know, so the enemy's always slow, steady, and methodical in it. He's not going to flood us all at once with it. You know, so when we'll watch a show with violence, it'll start off real slow. Just one, you know, it's not, the show's not really built around violence. You know, the subject's not really built around, you know, the subject of the show isn't built around the violence, but it's a part of it. You know, maybe just one scene. That's all it is. And then we move on and finish telling the rest of the story. You look at atheism. I first experienced atheism and didn't even realize it until I began to work on this sermon. Way back when I was just a little fella watching All in the Family. Michael, I don't know if y'all remember, you know, the you what do you call him? You meathead. There you go. Thank you, you meathead. He was an atheist, a proud atheist. You know, but the show was never built around his atheism. He would just, you know, drop subtle little, you know, oh, I don't believe in that. You know, oh, that's not, you know, my friend, you know, and subtly, you know, and now it's a prevailing way of thinking where you have many people that will get up and be like, oh, you know, many shows now that are atheists. Think about Dr. House, very popular show I used to watch. He was an atheist. You know, would always down talk, you know, those who believe in God. Right now today, Dr. Christina Yang. Any of y'all know that name? That's a character on TV. Christina Yang, Grey's Anatomy, atheist. And guess what? She don't even spell her name with the Christ. It's C-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Not C-H, you know, take the H out, you know what I'm saying? So it's not Christina. You know, but Christina, you know, temperance on bones, atheist, proud atheist. Like, yeah, I don't believe in that foolishness. Science, you know, that bags up what I believe, you know. Like I said, Michael on All in the Family, you know, another big and popular one right now that's still running on TV, Bill Maher. This is a Jewish atheist. He's a Jewish, I mean, think about the oxymoron in even saying that. You're a Jewish atheist. You know, you're a Jew that don't believe in God. Really? You know, I know your grandparents proud. Your great-grandparents really happy. Like, but, you know, it's subtle. We don't really, you know, pay attention to it. And now we think about how many people, you know what I'm saying, are running away from the church and, oh, I don't really, you know, ascribe to that. I really don't believe in God. But if we look at the word of God, oh, my goodness. Michael, stop it. All right. No, I won't stop. Peter, oh, I did not write this one down. Yeah, I think I did. Okay, look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I think I wrote this one down. Hold on. If not, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do a rough paraphrasing of it. Come on, Bible. Turn, turn, turn. First, 2 Peter, where am I at here? Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, let's look at. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 1 just for context sake, right? He says, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember that the holy prophet said long ago, and what your Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you, watch this, verse 3. I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires." Watch this. Look at verse 4. "They will say, 'What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created.'" Let me stop right there. What happened to Jesus coming again? Like Peter said this, and this was one of Jesus Christ's very own first followers, firsthand next to Jesus. And he said it right after, pretty much right after Jesus is crucified. He says, "Look, they're gonna say what happened to him coming again." And what do we see right now? Man, it had been 2,000 years. God ain't coming. And look at in the Old Testament, they talk about it all the time. Oh, God doesn't see. In other words, there's no God because he don't see what's happening. He don't know what's going on. God ain't, and there is no God there paying attention. And this is the prevailing thought now. In the scripture I read this morning in 94, that's exactly what was being said. Oh, God doesn't see. And this is what they were saying. And this is what Peter warned us about and says, look, this is why we got to be on guard. He says, because in the last days, the scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. See, this gives way when we say, like, hey, there's no God and there's no Jesus. What this does is this gives us freedom to act on our sinful nature. To say, like, oh, okay, I can do whatever I want to because there is no accountability after death. And if this isn't, I'm saying illegal, I don't have to worry about going to prison or jail for my actions, then I can do it. It ain't no problem with it. I can do whatever it is I want to do because God doesn't see. Jesus ain't coming back. There's no such thing, And this, again, like I said, a very subtle movement. It started with, for me, and it may, TV buffs or whatever can put in the chats with, what you know. But for me, this started way back when with All in the Family. Michael, like, yeah, I don't really believe in God. And then, show goes on. Real subtle. Now it's not so subtle. Now it's a very big part of the show. People are espousing this with no shame, no hesitation, like, boom, this is just what it is. Yeah, ain't no God, I'm good, And it's, look, listen, just like with sin, God gives us free will to sin or not sin. He gives us free will to believe or not believe. He's not forcing himself on anyone. It's like, yeah, it's your choice, whatever. And pretty much like in this country, we say, hey, we live in a free country. We have the freedom to do what we want. There's no one following us around 24/7, spying on us and making sure we don't break any laws. We have the freedom to, break a law if we want to. But we know that there is repercussion for that. You know, that's, you know, it's more immediate. You know, I decide to, you know, and Lord forbid, you know, go do some crazy stuff, you know, kick you in a door and just start, you know, acting crazy, like, yeah, they're gonna call the police, and you know, I'm you know, like, it's repercussions, right? But because God is so patient, so good, keep looking in that same chapter. Watch this, verse 15, and remember our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So while we're using the fact that God hasn't intervened yet as an excuse to say that there is no God, the reason why he hasn't intervened yet is because he's giving you a chance to be redeemed from your violations against his law. He don't work like man do. He loves us. He don't want to see any, and I ain't go pull up all the scriptures, but he don't want to see any of us, you know, in hell. The Bible tells us that. He doesn't want that. So he's being patient. You know, we say it all the time. You know, the Lord's mercy endures forever. His mercy and grace are new every day. And forgive me, I misquoted that. But anyway, he's very patient, and the Bible talks about it all the time. But anyway, let me keep moving on and not get bogged down into one thing or anything, right? You know, my point that I've been trying to make is that, you know, God, you know what I'm saying, is real. You know, we're under an attack by the enemy, and the most of the attack, we're not even aware of it, you know, because it's a psychological attack, and it's very subtle and very methodical, you know, and the enemy is clever. He's very clever, you know, and there's nothing wrong with acknowledging your enemy's strengths and being aware of them. There's nothing wrong with that, because now that I know that, you know, you're pretty clever in this one particular area, now I can be more watchful, more aware of your tricks, right? If we I want to show you guys something here that Paul does two times, right? Back to back with his son in the gospel, Timothy, right? So in 1 Timothy 6:20, this is what he tells Timothy. He says, Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Guard what God has entrusted to you. What is he talking about? He's talking about the good news, the gospel, your salvation. He says, guard it. Guard what God has entrusted to you. He's telling Timothy, this is important. Pay attention. Guard what God has entrusted to you. How? How? He tells Timothy how. Avoid godless, foolish discussion with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge, sophistry, sophism. And I gave you guys the definition of sophism, of sophistry. It's just deceptive reasoning, trying to fool you. Like, yeah, this is the truth. There's no God. Why? X, Y, and Z. You know, he hasn't come yet. You know, you can't touch him or see him. So there's no God. You know, foolish, foolishness. But it's so important what he tells Timothy, that in the very next letter, that was at the end of 1 Timothy 1, in the very next letter, again, it's one of the first things he tells him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, he goes again and says, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, do what? Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. So he ends one letter telling him, listen, guard this truth that has been entrusted with you. Guard it, protect it. Don't let nobody diminish it. And then he starts the first letter reminding him again, listen, remember what I told you. Use the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us and guard the truth. Guard it. Why? Because the enemy is deploying psychological warfare against you. Very sophisticated sophistries. And so again, we're constantly being bombarded with things that are opposed to what God has taught us, what God has said, hey, this is what is good for you. This is what you should be doing. Let's look at 1 Corinthians for a second. I'm wrapping it up. I ain't going to keep you guys too long. I promised you that. I'm wrapping it up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. One second here. Look, First Lady, quit beating me to the scriptures. All right. I'm the pastor up here. You trottle through your Bible while I get there. let me quit messing with her. I got to go home and sleep tonight with one eye open. Nah, I didn't call that out. Oh, man. Okay. I really got to be quiet now. She made some chili the other day, y'all. Whew. All right. I'm in 14, 15. All right, 16. I'm sorry, y'all. Verse 13. Look at verse 13. And again, I'm reading primarily out of New Living Translation today. But 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, again, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Verse 14, and do everything with love. Do everything with love. But that ain't what they try and teach us. Y'all keep your finger there. That ain't what they try and teach us. Do everything with love. First off, it's like, you know, eye for an eye nowadays. They didn't did X to you. Go ahead and do X back to them. You know what I'm saying? There's a big thing going on right now. I don't know how much y'all watching the media or whatever. You know, I really don't. Hey, Junior, you okay back there? Nudge him over. Yep. All right. Anyway, there's a big thing going on right now where women are using vehicles to run over men that they feel slighted by. Yes, this is happening on multiple occasions. There's literally a young woman, and I do mean young, that is being charged with murder because she used her van. She had her eight-month-old baby in the van, minivan. She looks at her boyfriend's phone, see some text messages she don't really like, gets in the van as he's coming out of the store, boom, run him over. But in doing so, he lives. But in doing so, there's another elderly gentleman on a cane trying to get in the store, and she run over him too, and he dies. This is happening more and more and more, right? But because I feel slighted, like I have the right to run you over now. This is like, that's not love. Where's your Christian values at? And I guarantee you, you go and ask someone, like, you believe in God? And she'd be like, yeah. But you don't know God. You don't know anything about God. You haven't spent any time developing a relationship with God. Because if you had, you'd know that I ain't got to do that. My God sees all. And there is repercussions for our actions, you know. So if the text messages were legit, you know, and he really was, you know, doing something he should not have been doing, you know, God will rectify that. But we got to first learn to trust and have faith in God. To be our provider, to be our redeemer, to be our protector in all situations. He will. He does. But he ain't doing it just willy-nilly. You know, it takes a part from us. And that's something I ain't going to get into the other messages. But It's about being radical. We're gonna get real radical up in this church, y'all. But we first got to understand what the enemy is doing to us and how he's doing it to us. If we're really going to be radical, if we're really going to be like some radical Christians and be like, yeah, I'm radical. And they come up to you and be like, you believe in God? Are you a Christian? You'd be like, nah, I ain't no Christian. I'm a radical follower of Christ. That's what I am. I'm radical. You don't want to mess with me. What? You radical? Yeah, we finna get radical. All right, anyway, let me not get too far off anyway. So we got to understand what it is the enemy is doing, how he's doing it. And again, you know, like I was telling you guys last week, you know, we're conditioned. We're in our 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, up, 30s, up. Listen, we're conditioned, you know, for the foolishness. Where we see it and we don't even think twice about it anymore. We don't even blink an eye and be like, you know, that really ain't, you know, all that. So right now the attack is on our youth, you know, conditioning them to say that, you know what? You don't have to believe anything that God says. You can make your own choices for life. You know, what life is for you, you know? And this is no attack on anybody, because I already told you guys that, you know, as adults, you know, we're free to make our own choices and sin or not sin. And listen, I got my own sin I'm trying to work out. I ain't worried about nobody else's, okay? But what I'm finna tell you and I want to show you guys is one second here. I'm trying to find the scripture. All right, you know what? I'm gonna do a rough paraphrasing of it. You know, the attack is on multi-prongs, right? So God says in the beginning, he created them, what? Male and female. Male and female. He created two sexes, male and female. Nowadays, we want to say that there's as many different sexes as there is. You know, you could be whatever sex you want to be. And we're teaching our children that they can be whatever sex they want to be. No, there's only two. And this is not, you know what I'm saying, a concept and an idea. This is a actual physical, you know what I'm saying, trait. Like, this is quantifiable. This is not something that's abstract or intangible. And where our children are being attacked with this, these thoughts and these ways of believing. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, Disney, one of the biggest portrayers of this on shows like Gravity Fall, Andy and Mac, The Lodge, Steven Universe. You got one of the biggest ones, which really just like, just the name of the show really was like, what? But y'all evil. It's called Star Versus the Forces of Evil is the name of the show. But they're pushing, you know, this agenda of, you know, to our children, you know, and I grew up this way. My mom, look, okay, cut on the cartoons and I'm gonna go and, you know, and I'm watching Woody Woodpecker and the coyote running in the brick walls and everything else. Soft violence that was engineering me, you know, to kind of accept violence. But now it's soft, you know what I'm saying, sexual orientation, because they've already got us with the violence. And, you know, the soft porn and so forth. My generation was the violence. You know, the mid generation after that, I would say, was probably the soft porn. And right now it's the, you know, sexual orientation. And they're constantly boom, boom, boom. Let these kids be kids. Why do they have to worry about whether they like boys and girls at the age of 4 and 5? Let them just be kids, you know? At 10 and 12, you just really kind of got out of the mud and like, oh, you know, they cute. Let them just, you know, think somebody is cute. I don't care if they think another sex is cute or another or opposite sex is cute. Stay out of it. We're adults. Do not inflict your viewpoints and values on that person, that child. Just let them be. They'll figure it out on their own. Because the way God, you know, made us, we're going to figure it out. We're not stupid. We ain't got to push it on them. But that's what they're doing in a bunch of different shows. The Discovery Family. Wouldn't even think about them, but they have a show, My Little Pony. Friendship is magic, and they pushing it in that. We can't just turn on the TV and like, okay, let me go do the dishes because we don't know what's getting pumped into them. And again, the episode isn't built around these topics. It's just something that just kind of happens in the show, and then we keep on moving. Teletubbies and what was it? It was a new one. Anyway, it's happening. You know what I'm saying? Very subtly, and then it's move on. Because again, it's slow, steady, and methodical. And then it'll begin to become more pervasive. These babies, when they hit, 18 and 20, by then, all the shows are just going to be that way. And it's going to be nothing to think about. Like, it just is what it is. But it's what it is against the way that God says we ought to be. And so again, I'm not picking on any particular subject. What I'm saying is, overall, the enemy is attacking us with various different way things, to change our hearts and minds and what we think and believe and how accepting we are of something. Like, that ain't no big deal. It's all right. And we'll let our children sit down and watch The Punisher. You know what I'm saying? We'll let them sit down and watch, even Marvels. You know what I'm saying? We'll take them to the show to go see, what is it, the DC universe or it's one of those universes or whatever they call it now. We'll take them to go see this stuff and not even think that, you know what, we ought to have a conversation about what it is you're seeing. Because you'll come out and be like, ah, oh, Wakanda forever. I done tow them up. You know what I'm saying? Spider-Man, wrapping them up and, oh, I didn't kill the Green Goblin. Oh, well. All right, Jane, hey, give me a kiss. Like, that's where we at nowadays. But that's how quick it happens, right? You know what I'm saying? He killed the Green Goblin. Next thing you know, he in a love scene with Jane, Mary Jane, or whatever else. Like, this stuff we don't even really think about because it's just, one scene to the next, to the next, to the next. You know what I'm saying? And we don't sit and think like, yeah, you know what? I first need to recognize what is happening before me and think critically about, what we're consuming. And then also the fact that I got, this young person here, and maybe I need to explain that this isn't, what God wants from us, and this isn't how things should be. And I'm not one of those parents that feel like, yeah, take all devices, don't let them watch TV, everything got to be a Christian movie and all this and that. Like, no, that's, you messing your child up because they got to go and live in the real world where that stuff really happening. And they don't know. They like, whoa, what? They get off into college and it's like, oh, what you give me? And they ready to pass out because they don't realize that like life is really happening. The enemy, you know what I'm saying? His tactics are, you know what I'm saying, being deployed, And don't get, as Christians, listen, don't get anxious about any of this or get afraid because this is all part of the plan. All right. This is all part of the plan. You know what I'm saying? God, look, we still victorious. We're still victorious. Look at and I'm gonna wrap up here. I promise you. I got about 7 minutes. I'm gonna wrap up. Listen, look. We looked at look at 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm gonna show you. And this is just one place because I'm running short on time. This is just one place, but this isn't the only place. Okay. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and y'all know I didn't read this one to y'all before. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again. And maybe at another time I'm gonna break down the last days, that concept. It's not just, one time period in time. It's different time period. But anyway, all right. You should know this. All right. Paul again talking to his son in the ministry. Listen, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Okay, how so, Paul? Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, people will love only themselves. And listen, when as I read this out, y'all think about today's culture. Y'all think about the stuff y'all see. You know, y'all think about, you know, the way life is today and see if this does not line up. He says people will only love themselves and their money. I mean, I could think of an ex-president that sums that up right there. Just one person. But anyway, I digress. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. He said, stay away from them. I mean, you think about it. I mean, really put some thought into it. All of those different things we could see happening in the culture right now. It's a prevailing way of life to be that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about nobody but me. I'm self-loving. Like I just gave y'all the example of the lady that ran over her boyfriend. She hit her 8-month-old child in the vehicle. Who do you really love? You know what I'm saying? And not only that, which I didn't tell you, but after she runs over the guy, she runs up to him, starts beating on him while he's down after being struck by this vehicle. I watched the whole video. Jumps back into the vehicle, tries to get it going, couldn't. What does she do? She hops out, abandons the 8-month-old, and flees. Who do you love if not only yourself? Self-loving. You know, they'll act like they're religious. You know, and I ain't calling nobody out, but you know, you pimping off your congregation like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I need a billion-dollar jet. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Lord told me. I need to be flying like in style with the newest stuff. Like, man, cut it out, bro. Cut it out. Cut it out. Repent. 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 For the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what John said. That's actually what Jesus said, too. No self-control. That's another one. Man, you see these young cats out here nowadays, these young girls and boys, man. Woo. I ain't going to name no names in this story here, but I got told a story. I'm like, what? You know, so this mother, you know, like goes to this party and nothing but lingerie and is all on social media doing signs of stuff that they ought not be doing. Like, really? You know, you a young mother, you know, you got several children. Like, what are you doing? You know, where's your self-control, your self-decency? You know, present your bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. But I guarantee you, let something happen, they'll be calling on the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, help me. Your kids get taken. Oh, Lord, why you let this happen to me? Jesus, help me. You don't know God. You know what them demons tell them? The word just slipped out of my mind. But they are trying to exorcisers. They are trying to exorcise them demons. They're like, look, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Jesus be like, get away from me, ye worker of iniquity. Who is you? I don't know you. Let me wrap it up right here. You know what I'm saying? It's real. It's happening. That's my point, y'all. You know, we got to be aware. You know, there is an active campaign of war being waged against us. You know, Christian and non-Christian alike. You know what I'm saying? This is happening to everybody. It's not just meant for the Christian, because the devil wants to steal as many souls as he can. You know, plain and simple. You know, and if he can keep people away from even believing in the first place, all the better. And if he can draw away those, and the Bible tells it's going to be those, you know, that's going to be prone to the apostasy, that's going to fall away from the faith in those last days. Devil is, he's doing what he was meant to do, plain and simple. We got to, but as Christians, we have to recognize and understand what the